Welcome to Linux Link Radio by TimeSys, the podcast for embedded Linux developers.
Hi, welcome to our first podcast. We're going to be doing, I think we're calling this Linux Link Radio. I think it's what the official marketing guys say it belongs on this. We're going to be doing some podcasts over the next couple weeks. I'm Gene Sally. You've probably been, maybe you've attended a webinar of mine, and I'm here with Maciej Helosz.
Hi, guys. As Gene said, you've been probably victimized by one of our webinars in the past, but we hope to actually catch your attention for a few more weeks, months, years with those very interesting episodes of podcast.
Yeah, we pick podcasts because we know a lot of people get the webinars and they can't either see or hear part of it, and then we have trouble getting the whatever sort of information that we want to get out to our users. One of the things we do at times is, and we like doing it because we think it helps our customers do the right thing, is just get general information out about embedded Linux. I mean, for us to succeed as a company, we need to make sure that our customers pick embedded Linux because it's the right solution for them.
Right, and the way we actually do that in during the webinars, well, has some of the limitations that we hope to overcome with podcasts, the interaction part of it, and later on with one, like probably a few weeks out, we'll start answering to some of the questions that we hope to get from you as a feedback. So we intend it to be as interactive as possible, and so having said all that, we're looking forward to hearing from you via email, via phone.
Yeah, I think at the end of this, the guys on marketing, again, they're going to stick a little thick trailer on the end. They'll give you an email address, and probably on our website where they're trying to push people to subscribe to the podcast, you'll see an email address there. So by all means, let us know. I mean, one of the things that I would be really happy with is someone wrote in and said, hey, you're doing it all wrong. And I think that would be a huge help to us if we got some suggestions on how we can make
some time better for you. Please add Gene's name there, right? Okay. If something goes wrong, that's his fault.
But we want to talk about for this episode, we just wanted to give folks that are new to embedded Linux some sort of grounding. You know, what is embedded Linux? Why should you even care about embedded Linux to even start with? I know there's a lot of different ways for you to do embedded work. And there are a lot of folks that we talk to that are along the lines of, well, what's different, in Linux from embedded, Linux for desktop, there's not really a lot of difference.
Yeah, the barrier between the two is kind of fading away, although from a technology standpoint and processes, definitely there is a huge difference still, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, those are for the folks that are for non-86, non-x86 folks. And for x86 folks, they often look at embedded Linux and desktop Linux as the same thing. And it's really frustrating because, for us, because we want to people know that embedded is a lot different. And mm-hmm. And they get sort of down this development path, and then there's trouble because they have the root file system and a lot of other issues that they really don't think about for their embedded target.
Right. Well, but at the end of the day, it's Linux, right? Whether you're on embedded or whether you're on a desktop system, from a programming standpoint, it looks very alike. And, in both cases, you're dealing with the Linux kernel, you deal with the compiler, you deal with the root file system. The primary difference is that, I guess, in embedded systems, you face architectural differences and perhaps some differences in how you structure your application or what's probably more important to you. But there are a lot of similarities. And I think that today people are, they start to not to think necessarily in terms of, hey, I work with embedded, I work with desktop. When you develop a new project, nowadays you really focus your energy on developing your application on the host machine without the concept of embedded target, and then you move to the embedded.
Yeah, I see a lot of our customers doing that. And they still shoot themselves in the foot big time when they go down that path. And that's sort of the group. I agree with the concept, because people think, well, embedded Linux, POSIX environment, same kernel, same sort of thing. And they get in a situation where they've developed for their machine, they haven't really put thought into their target architecture. It's mind-blowing to them that they need a cross-compiler on x86 just to keep the library straight. And they sort of shoot themselves in the foot that way a little bit. I feel bad for them. I really do, because there's a lot of time that goes into putting things back in order. But then again, I do agree with your 100% with your assertion that the POSIX environment's the same. So, hey, if you don't have your ARM board around, you can still program the sockets and whatever else you need to do. And it'll pretty much compile, not all the time, but pretty much compile on your target board without that much effort. You just need to track down your dependencies.
Yeah, well, there are differences, and I guess the primary difference is how you develop or put all those bits together, right? Mm-hmm. So when you down to a phase of integrating the solution,
yeah,
for an embedded systems, well, that concept does not exist for desktop users.
Yeah.
So and I guess that's what the whole development process,
yeah,
ideas are leading you towards.
Mm-hmm.
But still, today, when you look at different projects that people are working on, perhaps a bit from our experience as well, the teams are very diverse. You got a lot of engineers that are not necessarily embedded engineers. They do know Linux.
Oh yeah.
They do want to develop using Linux. Their managers want to develop for embedded system for the next project using, mm-hmm, Linux. Those are the two strongest groups, I would say.
Yeah.
The introduction to embedded space would be completely different for those two teams.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and there is, and the other small group we have out there too are folks that use other embedded systems, and they sort of have to go through making quotes in my hands, cleansing phase, as they sort of give up some of their old habits and acquire some of the new ones with Linux, and deal with the frustration where things don't map from one end to the other exactly.
So why do you think people should care about embedded system?
Well, if you look at a lot of the devices that are going out today, when you think about doing strict embedded work, you're talking about devices that are much smaller, much lower power, and they're popping up more and more in terms of how people purchase computers, right? So the all-in-one computer devices are becoming a big market, and the generalized PC is sort of being pushed towards the margin.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of embedded Linux devices now that you would never be able to put embedded Linux on 10 years ago. Strictly because of the power and that's now available in the processor and the much lower memory, the much lower memory cost, rather,
yeah,
associated.
Yeah.
So you're seeing a much smaller, lower power device now being able to run Linux. It's the classic hardware curve, you know?
Yeah, much smaller, but yet far more powerful than the devices from 5 years ago,
yeah,
right? 5 years ago, to put a Linux, embedded Linux on any device was just a very questionable task,
yeah,
and on many angles, business angle, technical angle. Well, today you got all those new system on chips from various semiconductor vendors that,
mm-hmm,
are so powerful,
yeah,
yet so small, and as you said, along the lines of power consumption,
yeah,
which is very important for embedded systems, they are there. So I agree with you that people do care about embedded Linux, and that's the ever-growing group of people. I mean, the number of projects in embedded space, mm-hmm, is really picking up.
Yeah, I know at the beginning when I first got involved in embedded Linux, I was talking to someone who did some aerospace work, and they said, we'd love to use Linux, but it weighs too much. And I thought, what? Software, and the guy explains, like, well, if you put something capable of running Linux, you need to have a bigger battery,
yeah,
and you need to have something better for heat dissipation,
right,
and it needs more memory, so that weighs, so the board must be bigger, and so the carrier must be bigger, and that all adds weight into this little magic cruise thing we're making, can't talk about, but for the project. So from his perspective, 6 or 7 years ago, Linux was too heavy.
Yeah.
And it introduced too much weight into his design. And I mean, now when you're looking at the chips we available from some of our partners like Atmel and some of the ARM-based chips, those are one chip, system on a chip. You can power them with very, very low voltages, they have very low low power requirements.
Yeah.
And the memory now you can put on one SIM, or you can have one chip for memory.
Yeah. and the very important bit of the technology that has to go is Linux itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today, the quality of a Linux kernel that is available for those new processors is completely different level than 2.4 kernels, for example.
Yeah, it is head and shoulders better.
And it's not just to, you know, say that 2.4 was very bad, but as far as the number of engineers and projects that start today based on a 2.6 Linux kernel, it's really a difference of a huge difference, which takes us back to business justification of why to go to Linux, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was one of the primary fears of companies that were facing the choice a few years ago, whether Linux is ready for prime time, whether Linux is ready to be deployed in their projects. And mm-hmm. at that time, the business justification was, we don't know that technology that well. It's not very popular, not widely mm-hmm. used. And that has changed today, from a business standpoint, at least.
Yeah.
A lot of companies use Linux,
mm-hmm.
and Linux is probably the fastest growing OS in the industry. I mean, in terms of number of projects that start.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason behind this is that people finally do see the value, do see the quality, which
yes.
is the most important, and support.
Yeah. Yeah, and then too, I know with Linux, of course, customers probably knows too, but listeners, audience, but you know, you don't run into the royalty issues that you run across. And I know a lot of customers are looking at devices and thinking to myself, hey, I think I can do a lot better, you know, device wise, or a lot better, you know, financially, if I use something like Linux, because then I'm not paying a royalty per device, and that royalty really adds up if you're doing like a big consumer electronics run or something like that. It's just nearly, you know, really, really boosts the cost, and on the flip side of it, just because there are a lot more people involved in Linux, that means there's a lot more people that are involved in Linux development. So it's not an exotic thing
yeah.
anymore. It's not like getting a VXWorks engineer, which is, you know, it's a very specialized, hard to fill, hard to find, hard to recruit.
Yeah.
People don't want to get involved in that because they may perceive it as being dead end.
Yeah.
And you really don't run across that with Linux.
And I guess a lot of projects out there that started months ago, years ago, people on those projects had been using different tools, different utilities to debug their hardware, to design their hardware. They had their processes in place, which for Linux then, in some cases, was really a challenge. Today, the number of tools, JTAG debuggers, IDEs, different plugins to tools like Eclipse, just makes it so much easier.
And, yeah, I agree.
And people can really do magic. People can really enjoy Linux and play with the code. That's what they always wanted to, right? And so I think that that's definitely there.
So we want to talk about the other thing we wanted to talk about. We did get a list of talking points. We don't cover the talking points that marketing gave us, we'd be in big trouble. But
uh-huh.
one of the things we did want to talk about is if you want to get started with embedded Linux, what do you have to do? What's involved? I know we have a couple webinars over the topic as well, but we did want to segue and just spend, you know, a couple minutes talking about what you need to do, you know, what software you need.
Yeah. Yeah, you did actually a very good job presenting a lot of those topics during the webinar,
yeah.
Gene, and I think that those are a good source for people that want to also see some visual representation of you know, what we talk about. There were slides that you were showing there, and there were talking points. So I think that this is fantastic source
wow.
of
hey, you were
you know. Yeah, sure. It's Do you want me to name price?
I know there's webinars that cover it, but just for anyone that's listening, now we just wanted to give them. I was thinking, well, geez, you probably give them a little bit of a synopsis, right? Like you need a you know, you need a kernel from this guy, and you need a tool chain to get started, and you need to start a, you know, create a root file system for your users, and you need to somehow get it on the board. And those are like a couple topics where, you know, if you want to do something like, let's say today,
you wake up. Oh, it's just actually a use case for to explore that topic a bit more.
Oh yeah, those are all the kids are doing that these days. So.
Yeah, because if we're gonna go to you know, different angles, different steps in the process, we can probably spend a lot of hours here and bother everybody.
bore them to death. Be your the first and only webinar, or what is this? No, this is a podcast. The first and only podcast. No, what do you want to talk about? We could use like one of the Atmel boards, because those are fairly popular. A lot of people use those. Or you want to do like x86?
Well, you pick. Let's go with an Atmel card, since that's a true embedded processor, right?
Yeah, I guess
compared to x86, you don't have desktops running on x86. Well, I'm sorry, on ARM. At least not yet.
Not yet. I'm sure that's disappointing them somewhere, right?
Yeah, perhaps. But let's talk about a project where you have to deploy a Linux kernel on a Atmel processor-based platform that is not exactly a reference platform from Atmel, but designed around the same concept as the reference board.
Okay. So you mean like the hardware designers that your company went through and lopped off from the board everything that all the devices that you weren't going to use?
Right. So let's assume that project name is printer server.
Okay.
And you have to design your own hardware. You have to you know that you're going to use certain components exactly the same as on a reference board from Atmel, and you're going to use one of their chips.
So you'd probably want to go get the kernel, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I'd imagine. You'd probably tell me I'm all wrong. I'm sure.
Where do you get it from?
Atmel.
Passed.
Get out.
No, that's good. I just said you passed the test.
Oh, did I pass my test? I think you said that was all in the past. I'm like, darn, I got that wrong. But anyway, so you need a kernel, right? And at the same time, you got to go fetch your cross-compiler.
Yeah.
Otherwise, well, yeah, you have a lot of trouble running it.
Well, actually, I take that back. You don't have to go to Atmel for Linux kernel. You actually get the kernel through Linux Link.
Oh.
And you can get it for free.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If you go to LLDN, Linux Link Developer Network website, you can access a page dedicated to a specific processor that you design around.
Yeah.
And just get your free access through that portal.
Yeah. What about the I don't think we do the toolchain the same way, right? For the kernel?
Yeah, well, actually, we do provide toolchain, and we do provide a root file system that comes with the kernel. We provide all the pieces that are needed for a developer to bring up the Linux kernel on the platform, on the reference platform. But the assumption there is that whoever is designing hardware, they do use one of the reference boards as a reference.
But let's just for entertainment. So. Let's just say we don't want to go to lldn.timesys.com, right? So let's say we want to tough it out. Everyone likes to tough it out at least once, right?
Yeah.
So to do that, you have to. I think that you still probably have to come to us for the kernel, right? At a minimum, you have to visit lldn.timesys.com for the kernel, because I think Atmel doesn't directly.
Let's do it differently. Let's talk about two scenarios. Let's talk about a scenario where you on your own.
I don't think I can remember two scenarios.
No,
that's too many.
Okay.
Well, let's make one scenario.
Getting the pieces from elsewhere, and then let's talk about how TimeSys can help with that process. How about that?
Oh. Well, okay. If you say so.
Okay.
You're the boss.
You would only listen to me every single time I have an idea. Okay. So, as you said, if you're on your own and you're designing the entire system on your own, you do have your hardware, you go to open source community and search for different Linux components, right? You need probably Linux kernel to start with.
Definitely, yeah.
You need some sort of a tool chain that you can cross-compile the Linux kernel.
Yeah.
And you do need some sort of a root file system.
And you need bin utils in there too for the file chain.
Right.
So file chain for the tool chain.
Yeah, several packages there. How long do you think it would take for a person to gather all those pieces?
10 minutes.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
To download them?
No, to find them.
Oh, to find them.
To find all the pieces, to be able to say that today I can boot my board with this version of the Linux kernel, I can rebuild it, and I can have such and such tools, libraries, available to me in the root file system.
You know what? I actually tried that once.
Yeah?
Seriously, for the Atmel boards, because I figured, well, TimeSys is saying, blah, it saves you X amount of time, and I thought to myself, yeah, right. How much time is it really? And holy cow, it took me like a week and a half, on and off, frustrating crap to get all of the stuff I needed.
Hey, interesting, because you're actually an experienced person. I mean, you know where to go and look.
Yeah, I kept telling myself I knew what I was doing too as I was.
No, but you know where to look for those files, right?
Yeah.
If you're in the shoes of a developer that is new to Linux or doesn't know where to find those different pieces.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing was that it wasn't downloading the files that was the hard part. So it's like, oh yeah, I found the files and I downloaded them and whatever, so I had like 10 tarballs of stuff. Building that toolchain was a killer.
Oh yeah.
It was a total killer. And I even used, there were several cross toolchain builder things.
Yeah.
None of them worked. I had all manners of problems.
Yeah, I heard that actually a lot from a lot of customers that building a toolchain is on its own, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to consume so much time and energy from whoever was working on the project, because let's face it, at that time you're not even thinking about your project, you're just prepping your build environment, right?
yeah And I don't want to present it as a pot, but I eventually figured it out. Maybe it's just that I'm just not the sharpest knife in the drawer or whatever, but it took me a while. It really did. And it's one of those things that after I went through that exercise, I feel so much more happier saying, gee, I don't have to do that again. Every time I click that, I download our stuff, it's like, oh, I don't have to do that again.
Yeah.
And because I got everything running on Linux.
Yeah.
Right? But I know that, and I probably shouldn't be admitting this to the Linusync radio with the Linux, but I do a lot of my work on Windows too. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even get into getting it to build on SigOne. Because setting up a Canadian cross under using any of the cross tool things is hard. And it doesn't work. And so if you have if you want to develop Windows and Linux, kind of switch back and forth between hosts. Because I do that a lot. I do admit that I NFS share one volume and I'll compile something. But getting a Canadian cross built, no. Uncharted territory for some of those things.
Canadian what?
Well, that's supposed to be.
No. It's just that when you're in that space and you're looking for a toolchain, and then you think about Canadian cross, it sounds so complicated. Right?
Yeah, well, it actually is. I had one of our the building the toolchain is complicated, and the Canadian cross, because we had some here worked, my buddies worked here, and he's from Canada, and I had to explain him what the joke was behind Canadian cross with some sort of parliamentary division thing. I couldn't understand that either. So, but yeah, both things are. That's supposed to be some real funny joke. He thought it was funny. He giggled the whole time he was telling me. I didn't get any of it. I was completely left out in the cold.
So now that you have a toolchain, you can probably find a good kernel, a good starting point for development from either an open source group somewhere or from a semi, perhaps.
Yeah.
Or you can get one from LinuxThink.
Yeah.
But, the challenge there is that the kernel that you find is not really the kernel that you can run out of the box on your target. And
I found.
Given that you work with a custom hardware, that's usually never the case. But the challenge there is, you have to leverage what you can find in the open source community with your knowledge and ability to adjust that Linux kernel so that it runs on the card, right? And that's where I feel like a lot of companies, a lot of customers are challenged. Linux is still a bit of that crazy thing that somebody has put together, right, and is trying to get it up and running on all platforms somewhere. Mm-hmm. But for a company to get it adjusted to run on a custom platform, what is it going to take?
Oh, for that? You know, I wouldn't even, I put it this way, I wouldn't even guess.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even guess because, see, for my target, it was a lot different because I was fortunately working with one of the Atmel. Because I was experienced. Yeah. So I was working with a reference board that was fairly well known. But I'm sure that would take. I put it this way. I knew that for me, that wasn't that much effort. Because I at that point, once I had my kernel and my cross compiler, I could sort of pare things down.
Right. And, usually, I guess engineers that are in a similar situation, in a different situation, engineers that work on a custom platform, they look for somebody to guide them through this entire process, right?
Yeah.
Guide them through, hey, where do I change my kernel to adjust, well, let's say, memory map?
Yeah.
Because that's where you usually start. What are the steps that I have to go through? How difficult is that going to be? How much time am I going to spend on trying to do that, right?
Yeah.
And I think that from technical standpoint, that varies from project to project, from engineer to engineer.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a lot of time is spent on projects.
Oh, yeah.
That's where people usually spend weeks, months, even, trying to optimize the Linux kernel to really perform the way they want it.
Yeah. And it was different for me. I mean, when I think about this little task I went through, it's like I knew what the right answer was. Like I knew where I should be, where the endpoint was. You know, I had some idea of what it was to be finished. I couldn't imagine going through that not knowing.
Yeah.
So if you flip back to the two scenarios, so you think I had no short-term memory, but I wrote it on the whiteboard here, so I knew we had two. But if you think about that compared to what I did. So the other thing it is, I used our own product because, like I said, I don't believe anything marketing. Who believes what marketing tells you, right? So I used. I mean, seriously, you don't.
They won't air that this episode if you continue talking like that.
You think they're gonna clip me out? I think so too. But anyway, so I used our own product, right? And I found that I could just download. I downloaded a working tool chain. I downloaded a working kernel. I downloaded a working root file system. And then I started fiddling around with getting an application run on the board. And it turned like what I would consider easily a week and a half. This is a week and a half by someone who knew what they were doing,
mm-hmm.
into, I don't know, 30 minutes of downloading.
Yeah.
And tar, XZ, and that was really it. I mean, it was really great. And I was much happier that I could do things that way.
Yeah. And I guess that one thing that you didn't leverage yet at TimeSys is the force of our engineering team, and I'm here to assist our customers and you as well in trying to adjust the Linux kernel if you were working, for example, on a custom platform. But the lucky you were working on a reference board.
Mm-hmm.
If you were adjusting the custom board. Well,
yeah, I was thinking the other thing I just sort of point out is that, you know, for all this work I was doing, if I ever had a problem, I could very easily just go and walk upstairs and ask someone who was smart, right? With the pro, because I did get tech support that way a lot, instead of just me. And I was able to get help from them. And I'm thinking, you know, if you're doing, you know, custom work, and you didn't have that kind of resource, this is in my week and a half of not so happy time doing that, and you didn't have that help, I'm sure it would have taken me much longer.
Well, I don't think that it's as simple as just going upstairs, Gene, because as you know, our engineering resources and people that contribute to discussion forums and answers to our customers and partners, they are spread all over the world. Therefore, using discussion forums would be the preferred way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that is a good point. But I am close and I am able to sit on people's desks and
pull one of the guys out
and beg them for help. Well, I bribe them. I make no things about it. But I bribe them with cookies and candy and popcorn and whatever it takes. Well, I think they're waving us saying, hey, you've gone over time.
And, as usual.
Yeah, so sorry. So I hope this was valuable, semi-valuable.
And we'll continue the topic to some extent next week. But since we haven't even touched the topic of the root file systems.
Oh, yeah.
And that's on its own can probably take again.
I like that. That's a fun topic to talk. I like your the whole library thing, the whole dynamic link loader.
I'm not going to let you go on this again. No.
I love that.
Let's keep it short.
There's craftsmanship there that I just don't think it's. I just don't think you get to see too much. And it's,
okay.
Well, never
I'm
mind.
I'm going to have to bring in next time some sort of restraining device for you.
Okay. If you say so. That's fine with me. So I figure we'll wrap up and we'll see you again. I'm not sure the period is. I'm not sure if we're going to do things on every 1 week or 2 weeks. Probably every 2 weeks, I would imagine. For the time they can get us lassoed in here to say something coherent for a little bit. So again, let us know what you think. Give us a holler. I'm sure wherever you downloaded this from, there's probably an email address saying, hey, talk to us if there's something you want us to cover. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by TimeSys. Check out our new site to get free code, discuss, and learn about embedded Linux development. Go to timesys.com today.